James Bond syndrome. The James Bond syndrome. This is the thought for today. It's Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. What good has come out of Galilee? What good has come out of Jerusalem? The question is asked. And the answer, of course, is Jesus. Well, what good has come out of the James Bond project? James Bond, as you probably know, is a very sophisticated man. The character that is written into these books, James Bond books and movies, very sophisticated, very eternally young. He's eternally 30, 40, you know, right in that particular age. Very young, very dynamic, very sophisticated. You got to make him old enough so that he can have the talents that he has, because, you know, you got to get the talent somewhere. He speaks every language on the face of the earth, and he speaks every dialect. Wherever he is, he speaks the dialect of whatever the language that he is doing. When he is in China, he happens to know the cheeses there, the big wheels, and he knows all the restaurant maitre d's, and he knows all the gracious, lovely women of every community, and of course they all know him too. And only the finest, only the most pulchritudinous, the ones with the most beautiful physical forms, the most beautiful faces, the most brilliant minds, the most magnificent beings on the face of the earth. These women are the cream la cream, you know. They are above anything that any other human being could ever even hope to be. They are like angels that have come to earth, you know. Well, that's James Bond syndrome. The James Bond syndrome is good and very good, the best. And he's never against the law. He's always working on the side of the law. And yet, he does many things that many people would consider shady. But he always has the latest gadgets, the latest things, helicopters that you fly on your back. You hook it to your back. And underwater mask and a little tank that uses carbon so that you can breathe underwater an indefinite length of time and swim wherever you go. And of course, he's got a beautiful physique. He's not fat, not strong, not tall or short. He's just the perfect human size, the perfect human form. So when they choose a James Bond for their movie, they got to choose a good-looking fellow, but not too muscular. He's got to be just a normal person, because he doesn't spend all his time at the gym weightlifting, although he does keep in shape. He plays tennis, he plays golf, he swims, he rides horseback. Whatever he does in exquisite talent. A wonder, wonder man. And all the women dearly love him because he is one of the most, I don't want to say professional, one of the most competent lovers, perhaps that's better, on the face of the earth. Now, does that mean that he's having sex all the time? No, hardly. That means he is having a wonderful relationship with beautiful people that he respects and loves, and they respect and love him. And they don't want anything from him, and he doesn't want anything from them, just being together and enjoying each other's company and having a great time. Oh, the bedroom scenes are supposed to be, you know, very hot and tepid, but the thing is, they're not really there. That's not what the movie's all about. You think it is because handsome man and beautiful girls, you know, you think that's what it is. But this is, if you will, the ideal man. He is the ideal man. He's not fat, not thin, not short, not tall, not muscular, not weak, but he is just capable of doing anything. And I think if we look at the James Bond syndrome for our life, it's quite good. It's quite good. He gets involved in a lot of difficult circumstances, and he should have been shot and killed and hung up and everything by the enemy, but they never succeed. And they always, the enemy, if you, I use that term, his nemesis are always totally respectful of him. They think if they can pull a ploy, if they can put something over on James Bond, they're really good. And yet it's never said, but it's intimated in every James Bond movie, the 007. Have you ever seen any James Bond movies? You haven't? You've seen them? You and Ingeborg haven't lived. We'll get you a James Bond movie. There's a lot of toughness in it and things like that, but it's if you look at it from the perfect man, he has to get this exciting activity in there to bring the readership and the audience, you know. But he is just the perfect man, and he's surrounded by the perfect women. And the magic thing about him is he has a team of international activities available to him, of international people on the side of theoretically good, and not only theoretically, really good. And they provide him with all of the chicanery that he would like to have to do his task. You know, like having a knife come out of your shoe. I mean, you know, he never has to use it. And I don't think he's ever killed anybody. He has had all the machinery and all the mechanisms to kill people, but he never does. He's like the Lone Ranger. Have you ever heard of the Lone Ranger? Mm-hmm. The Lone Ranger was Hyo Silver and his friend Tonto. He had the American Indians on his side as well as the American people because he covered the waterfront. But this is James Bond. He doesn't have any sidekick. He doesn't have anybody who he trusts, who he believes in, or who he's with. He just has the most interesting people around him that anyone could imagine. Now, how would you like to be a James Bond? Were you spoke every language and every dialect in the world, wherever you went. And wherever you went, you had been in that restaurant before, and they knew you as a regular, and the maitre d' would call you by name, you know. And wherever you went in the world, you had limitless money to spend on whatever pleased you. And you had yachts available to you. You didn't have to own them, but they were available to you, and it's your yacht. And you had beautiful, fast cars, the most beautiful car available on the market, you know, and even not on the market because they're designed for you. He had cars that flew. They were driving along in one of his scenes, you know, and there was some machine guns going on, and his car just took off and floated right over the top of all this nonsense. It's really quite amazing and a little bit fanciful. I don't think the car exists yet, but for the movie, they could make it exist. They could do all sorts of wonderful things in the movies. But the James Bond is taking your imagination to its wildest height and playing with it and enjoying it. What if you could do this? How would you do it? What if you had the ability to speak every language? How would you speak every language? What if you had the ability to be known by every maitre d' around the world in all the great restaurants? And he wasn't fat. So it's not that he ate a lot. It's just that he ate quality. And he ate high-priced quality. But it's an amazing man. Amazing man. Amazing character. And you too. How are you going to write your life? Are you going to write your life with the James Bond syndrome, this unlimited aspect of yourself, this ability of yourself to be anywhere, do anything, say anything, and be fully understood? And to speak with, and oh, could he dance? Oh, man. Fred Astaire, you know? Yeah. He could do all these neat things. And he was a good tennis player, a good golfer. And, oh, he could shoot. He was a sharpshooter. He was exquisite at everything he did. And a pilot, and a jet pilot. Not only a single engine, not only a dual engine, but a jet, and many jets, you know. He was flying his Lear jet around wherever he wanted to go. That's imagination. I mean, it's totally unrealistic. It's totally unreal, but kind of fun. But kind of fun. And this is how you want to start living your life. Live your life in this fanciful, imaginative, creative area. And you may write books, you may not, but you can have a ball. Now, what if you're thinking of your dad, and you think, you know, Dad, been a while since I saw you. You died a while back. I think I'd like to come visit you. And you're not going to go visit him wherever he is now. You're going to visit him then, when he was here, when he was living in Switzerland and doing things. And you just, pop, pop, you're right back there in time and space and having a great talk with him. And you don't want to have a talk with him now, because you don't really care about him. You don't care about him at all. You don't give a darn about your dad for beans. He's been dead now, what is it, 10 years? Something like that. And have you thought about him every moment of the day and night? No. Occasionally it'll come to your mind. But whenever you think about him, you think of him there, back there. Back when you were at home with him. And so that's where you want to go and visit him. You don't want to go and visit him in some new dimensions and so forth, because he doesn't have a remembrance, and you wouldn't have a remembrance either if you were in that new dimension. You think you would. You think, oh, yes, I'd remember the people I want to see. But you wouldn't, because they wouldn't be there. Everyone's off on their own multi-dimensional experiences, and quite nice, and having a good time. Now, Anita, she thinks it'd be so great to talk to her mom. Well, she's got to watch out. She's been away from her mom for a while, and her mom's been doing some changing in her attitude, in her dressing, and in her ways of thinking, and pretty soon her mom's not going to be her mom anymore. She's going to be another lady who evolved from her mom into this fabulous person that she is becoming. And Anita, do you think that if your mom knew you as a baby, she would recognize you today? She didn't know you after you were a baby, but she just knew you as a baby. Would she recognize you today? No, no way. No way in hell, as the saying goes, could she do that, because you aren't the same. And now, today, you're a very charming, beautiful girl, and give you another 50 or 100 years, and you might take on more maturity. And change your looks, and you might change your hairstyle. And, you know, many of the, I don't mean to make a joke out of this, but many of the older women begin to raise mustaches. they do, you know. The hair gets pretty thick on their chin, and most of them pluck it out, but some of them don't bother. Who cares? Yeah, I just do my thing, you know. But you see, the desire for physical beauty as you get older isn't the same as the desire for physical beauty as you're younger. You know, that's true. Now, did your mother have a little mustache?
No.
My mother did, and a lot of other women did, who really didn't like to pluck it out. But they have all these sort of hair depilatories that they can use, and what do they call them, where they electrolysis, they take them out. And a lot of people have that. A lot of people have that. Some men even have it done to their faces. And I would think that would be a very tough thing to do, because one day they might like to have a mustache, and they can't do it anymore because they had them all plucked out or electrolytically change. But you see, to be the James Bond syndrome, you can do anything. You can do it anywhere, anytime, anyhow, and have a ball. And this term isn't the correct term to use, but, and you'd be legal. You'd be doing everything harmonious with the rules and regulations of life. You would be enjoying yourself, and everyone would think it's perfectly natural for you to do that. Is it perfectly natural for James Bond to do all the things he does? Yeah. You're not surprised at all. You're delighted, you're charmed, but you're not surprised. James Bond, why, of course, he can do anything. Tarzan, why, of course, he can swing from any branch in the jungle, and even though they're not hooked up to anything very strong. And then he can get Jane and carry Jane in his arms and sweep around the jungle and just have a good time. And Tarzan has such compassion that when an ape dies that's a friend of his, he's very sensitive about it. And Tarzan could care less about human beings who were not harmonious, and he just puffs them out of the way like he would another ape. But you see, that you expect from him. You're not surprised. You're not surprised at all. And I was interested in one of the movies, they call Tarzan a savage. Now, what does the word savage mean?
Wild.
Hmm?
Wild.
Wild, yeah. Wild, untamed, unsophisticated. But now, do you think that a tiger in the jungle is a savage? Mm-hmm. No, he is not. A tiger in the jungle is very sophisticated. He knows how to get his food. He knows his territory. He knows how to control his pride, and that's his women. And he knows how to keep his territory perfect. He knows how to keep his body in good shape. He knows everything, you know. He is sophisticated in his lifestyle, and he does a good job. Now, are birds wild? Well, we call them wild, but they're very sophisticated. They have their programs. They do their thing. Like that big hawk up there now circling around. There's something down below that has died. And so he's just looking around to make sure that nobody else is going down there to take hold of it. And then when it's right for him, he'll just dive down and have his breakfast. Uh-huh. But you see, when you think about these things and you think that they're natural, it puts a whole different light on it. And when you think James Bond is a natural thing, he's merely a man. True, he's a fictional person, but he's merely a man who has no limits on himself. If there is anything that comes up, he's been there, done that. And nobody is surprised that he's been there, done that. Now, you can create that same thing for yourself. Why should you be surprised that you have a spiritual healing? Why should you be surprised that you, with your spiritual healing, have no interest in telling someone else about it?
Because I don't remember.
Yes, you don't remember, and you don't care. For instance, Sylvia's sitting at her computer, and she's been working on getting the CorelDRAW to produce a particular thing for her. And then all of a sudden, poof, she hits the right button. She knew the button was there, but she hits the right button, and up it comes in perfect order. Ah, yes, I did that. That's it. I must remember that. That's it. See, she has this illumination. But then she starts sitting, and I must tell Ellen. I must tell everybody about this. And so she's working and working and working, and all of a sudden, what happens? It becomes common. It becomes ordinary. And so she doesn't think to tell anybody else about it because it's just quite ordinary. James Bond doesn't think to tell people he can speak the dialect of every country in the universe, you know? And you don't think of doing it either because it's so common to you. And this is what I want for all of you. I want you all to be the wildest dreamers you can. Take everything to its farthest attitude and come up and realize that it's just ordinary. It's just ordinary. It's just a normal thing to do and a wonderful thing to do. And when you do that, then what happens? You just have the time of your life. And that's what it's all about. So the James Bond syndrome is a pretty wonderful thing. And I recommend it to everybody. Get the James Bond syndrome. Get the way out, the craziest anything is possible. And go for it and enjoy it. Because that's my gift to you today. And that's my gift to you forevermore. So the thought for today is enjoy the James Bond syndrome. I give it to you freely now.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.